Welcome. This is Bernice Ross of realestatecoach.com, and I'm very happy to welcome Scott Friedson, who is the CEO of Insurance Claim Recovery Support. Scott is a public insurance adjuster, and he helps people navigate getting their insurance claims settled from events like Harvey, but also hailstorms, tornadoes, fires, whatever it is. Scott is going to share with us today what people who are caught in Harvey or the flooding in Houston can do to make sure that they get the money that is due them from their insurance company. Welcome, Scott, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bernice. I appreciate it.
Well, first of all, tell me, what does a public adjuster do, and what is your role in helping consumers to settle their claims?
Okay, so a public insurance adjuster is a licensed adjuster who solely represents the interests of the insured policyholder and negotiating and settling first-party insurance claims, things like hail, wind, fire, those types of claims. They review policy, they interpret it, pro-policyholder, document your damages, estimate your losses, meet with your insurance company, and negotiate a fair and prompt settlement. A really good public adjuster will compel an insurance company to perform per the insurance code statutes in your state, advise you of your rights and remedies in the event there's a dispute.
Well, that certainly was my experience because, like I said, they kept changing the numbers of what they were going to pay me. It was just this dance that was awful. Let's assume that we've got people who've been hit by Hurricane Harvey with the floods in Houston. What steps should those people be taking right now and going forward?
Well, the very first thing is safety, and you want to make sure that you are safe. That's first and foremost. Don't be a hero. When everything settles and you have access to your property, whether it's been wind or water damage, the first thing you want to do is, actually the very first thing you want to do is you need to file your insurance claim, notice of claim, promptly. You have a duty to do that in your policy, and even if you think you have a claim, if you're not even sure and you're not where your property is, you need to file your claim and do it promptly. Your policy requires it, and in the event your property is not damaged, there'll be no harm, no foul. A lot of people think that their rates will go up if they file a claim, and that's just not true. You have to put them on notice. There is no damage, then no harm, no foul. The next thing is, get a copy of your policy and review it for coverages. And we'll talk a little more about that in a minute. You want to mitigate damages. That's very important. Your policy requires that you do that. And what that means is if you have water damage or if you have a hole in your roof and water's getting in, you need to tarp your roof. You need to take out all the water damaged materials that are on the interior. Carpet, sheetrock, insulation, anything that could create mold or make matters worse. That's what most of the policies will say, is that you have a duty to mitigate so that your conditions do not get worse. In the process of mitigating, hire professionals who are qualified and local, ask for references, ask about their experience, ask for about their equipment and available resources. Do not sign anything with an arbitration clause, is what I recommend to people. And as you incur these expenses, you can turn them into your insurance company for reimbursement. And every policy, has that where, as you incur expenses for mitigation, they will reimburse you for incurred expenses. After that, you want to make sure that in your tear out, if you can preserve the property, put it to the side so your insurance company can inspect it. But in any event, you need to photograph it. Photograph the damages before you start mitigating, the second you get there, while you're mitigating, and after you've completed your mitigation. I also strongly recommend that if you can get any type of pre-loss condition photographs or reports, such as an appraisal or property condition assessment, that can show what kind of condition your property was in prior to the occurrence, that helps to document your pre-loss condition.
So, Scott, the idea here is that you want to document the conditions exactly as they are when you first entered the property after the loss. Now, there are some things that our listeners need to do here, which involve actually protecting themselves, because mold starts, if you've got a flood or water loss, mold starts in 3 to 5 days. So how can our listeners protect themselves?
If your property is mold ridden, I don't recommend you go in. You need to have professionals that know how to remediate mold, and that includes wearing respirators and face masks, things of that nature. It goes back to safety first. Same thing with asbestos. Older buildings, when you do the tear out, and when you get to that dry area, there could be asbestos in there. So it's really important to cover your face if you're planning on doing that, or, you know, there's OSHA requirements that these folks are very much aware of. And really, I suggest you leave it to the professionals.
Great. Now, I want to go back to something that you said. First of all, a public adjuster can help you find people who are professionals at this. Also, I really like homeadvisor.com. They are a great resource, and they verify their people. But I want to go back to this notion of taking photos and videos. It is absolutely imperative that you do this right now when you have no loss so that you can justify what kind of shape the property is in. Now, if I haven't done that, what are some of the things that our listeners can do if they don't have this material right now?
Well, if you're fortunate enough where you haven't been impacted by Harvey and you're just a listener in an area that's never, you know, is not impacted by a natural disaster, I always suggest that take your phone, take pictures, take video, walk through your house. That way you can kind of capture your contents and then take pictures of your exterior. You know, doing it once a year, every 6 months, or, you know, before storm season starts, if you're in an area that has hurricanes or tornadoes or hail, it's just a good practice to do it. People don't even, you know, they don't think about it until there's a problem, but it's very, very smart to be proactive. And if you've had a house, like maybe you just bought a house, you can reach out to your real estate agent and ask them for photos that they use to market the property. And then, of course, you know, we'll have appraisals and building inspections and things of that nature. You want to retain that. And the best thing to do is then after you've taken all that is to store them onto some sort of online server so that you can access them from anywhere in the event your property does get damaged or destroyed.
Now, one of the things, so assuming that my property's got mold, I can't move in there, what can I do? How do I pay my living expenses when I can't live in my house?
Great question. Typical policies have what's called additional living expenses as part of their your coverage, and that is to cover things that you incur expenses for living expenses, food and transportation and hotels and things of that nature. You want to pay close attention to the amount of the additional living expenses that your policy affords you and the amount of time that it will be afforded. It's critical because people, you know, you're dealing with two timelines here. One is your restoration settlement from your insurance company to restore your property, to fix it back to pre-loss condition. And then you have another timeline for your additional living expenses. You don't want to run out of living expenses while you're trying to settle your insurance claim. And time is always working against the policyholder. And that's why I strongly recommend that you do not waste any time. And if you feel like you're not getting the time, attention, a fair treatment, prompt payments, or a fair payment, do not wait for things to get worse. You want to give your insurance company the opportunity to do the right thing. And there are lots of really good insurance companies that do the right thing. But just like every business and every profession, there's the good guys and then there's the bad guys. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're being bad, okay? They're just overwhelmed. So I really, really can't stress enough how important it is that people spring into action and do everything you reasonably can to review your policies and get your recovery process started. And if you feel like you need help, because there's a lot of twists and turns that can go into these things that people just don't know what they don't know till you're in it. Engaging someone who is a professional that does this on a daily basis could be very, very prudent for policyholders.
Scott, sometimes people are tempted to stop paying their mortgage or their insurance when they've had a catastrophic loss. Why is that a poor idea?
After they suffer a catastrophic loss, they may stop paying their mortgage or they may stop paying their insurance. And you want to continue to do both of those things because otherwise you could lose your house or your property.
Scott, people don't realize how serious it is if they stop paying their insurance because the insurance company can bail from actually paying their claim. But more importantly, your lender requires you to carry that policy. So if you're not carrying it, they can call the loan. Scott, I want to take a look at something else. One of the most important things that you can do is to take a look at your insurance policy to see if you have replacement value or cash value. Why is this important?
The replacement cost value means that for whatever it costs to replace this property today is what you will receive from your insurance company less your deductible. Okay. And with that, there's a thing called withheld recoverable depreciation, meaning they're going to give you what's the actual cash value, and actual cash value is what it's worth today. So for example, if you have a roof that is 5 years old and it's a 20-year roof, under replacement cost value, you're going to get replacement for full 20 years. Okay. Less your deductible. If you have an actual cash value, you're going to get the what it's worth for today less the 5 years of the wear and tear and the depreciation on that roof, and you'll have to make that up between whatever it costs between actual cash value and replacement cost value less your deductible. And I mentioned real briefly about the recoverable depreciation on a replacement cost policy, and I just want to touch on that just for a moment because it gets a little confusing. When you have a replacement cost policy and you get a settlement, there's going to be money that's held back by the insurance company. And they do that because they want to make sure that the work gets done. And often, if you have a lender, the lender's going to be on the check and they may hold some of the money as well. And what it is it's a way to make sure that for both the lender and the insurance company that the work is actually performed. And then once the work is performed and it's been documented and verified, they will release the rest of that withheld money, or what's called recoverable depreciation.
Yeah, Scott, that's a great point, because when we had the hail claim on my roof when we were selling about a year and a half ago, the check came made out to me and then to our first mortgage holder and to our second mortgage holder. So I had to get signatures from both lenders before we could cash the check. So something to keep in mind. So you're not going to be able to get this if you're not looking out for the lender. That's a great piece of information. How can I go about finding someone who's a very professional public adjuster who's going to have my best interest at heart, as opposed to ending up with someone who may not be the best person to represent me?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's I wish I had a really simple and good answer for you. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the associations that are in this trade don't have always the best guys. There are some good guys. My recommendation is, I'm an executive director for a nonprofit called Policyholder Advocates. We've got some really good PAs that are vetted. But really, the best thing to do, in my opinion, is, you know, in your market, wherever you're at, I would Google exactly what you're looking for. So if you have a home and you have a fire and you have an insurance claim, I would Google house fire public adjuster. If you're a commercial building operator or an apartment operator, commercial public adjuster, Austin, Texas, or whatever, wherever it is that you live. And then I would talk to a couple of them, two or three, and qualify them and ask them things like, hey, how long have you been doing this? What percentage of your claims do you settle versus go to litigation? What is the process? And see what they tell you about what they do and how they do it. You know, typically, how do you document the files? How long does it take? How many pages are involved in it? What can I expect in terms of getting this claim settled? What roadblocks do you think we may have? What should I be doing now? There's a lot of little questions you can ask them to qualify and quantify them, and definitely ask for references.
Scott, one of the things that happens really often is that people will find that there are mistakes made in the process. You know, the adjusters are human, the people running insurance companies are human. Mistakes are going to be made. But also, people get worn down. They say, well, let's just sue. Why is suing oftentimes a very bad idea?
Yeah, my MO is avoid a lawsuit like the plague if you can. Sometimes policyholders are forced into lawsuits, though, unfortunately. And, you know, no one's thinking about that. The time when you first have a loss, you're thinking, you know, hey, I've seen the TV ads. It's going to be like it never happened. And I'm in good hands and all that business. And, you know, that's what people believe and want to believe. And that's the way it should be. But in reality, oftentimes there are disputes. If you can reasonably settle it with the help of a public adjuster and you can go a non-litigious route, that, I think, is the best way to go. You know, a public adjuster works on a contingency fee agreement, and so does a plaintiff attorney. However, your very first line of defense should be a public adjuster, because a good public adjuster is going to document your loss. They're going to write letters explaining your position. They're going to make demands on the insurance company. They're going to go through the policy, interpret it pro policyholder, incorporate statutes and things of that nature. And you're going to find that you're going to want to make reasonable efforts to settle your claim without going to litigation. And if you can document that and prove that up, chances are you're going to be just fine. But in the event that you're not and you have to hire an attorney, the things that people need to be aware of is, you know, first of all, there's a lot of attorneys who are not specialists in insurance claims. A lot of them are personal injury attorneys that, you know, kind of like dabble in it. You need someone who's a specialist. The other thing is you've got discovery, depositions, mediation. Those things, they all take a lot of time. They can be expensive. You may have to go to court. You may have to open up all types of financial records. And the plaintiff attorneys, the good ones, they work on contingency. The defense attorneys who work for insurance companies are billing typically by the hour. So there's no financial incentive for them to settle your claim anytime soon, and they drag it out. So if you're looking for something, a process to get it settled quickly, going to a lawsuit is not the way to go. If after you've exhausted your resources and a reasonable amount of time has passed and you haven't gotten the results that you need and you've reached an impasse with the insurance company and you feel like they have treated you unfairly, delayed payments or underpaid it or misrepresented the policy, did an improper investigation. These things do happen. And in that case, if you cannot reach a reasonable settlement, then, you know, as an option, a last resort, you should strongly consider an attorney.
You know, Scott, there was a study done by the Florida legislature that showed that policyholders that were represented by public adjusters typically got more total money from their insurance company. So that's one of the reasons that's really smart to hire a public adjuster. One of the things that we see, though, oftentimes, I saw in California, the insurance companies would make a very quick offer of a claim. And oftentimes what they were offering to pay was way less than what the damage was. Have you seen that in your practice?
Routinely.
So what can our listeners do to make sure that doesn't happen to them?
Well, it all comes down to this. Documentation is the name of the game. And if the only person who is documenting your damage is a representative from the insurance company, meaning their adjusters and whoever else they bring out, engineers or building consultants, then all the documentation is clearly going to be skewed pro-insurer. If you hire someone who's representing your interests, who understands the process and knows how to document a claim in a pro-policyholder light, then you should have some leverage there. You should be able to prove up your claim. You have the burden as a policyholder to prove your damages. And if you don't do that, if you're just solely relying on the adjusters from the insurance companies to do that, you have to remember who pays their check at the end of the day. They have a duty to represent the interests of the insurance company. And so a lot of times disputes and dollar amounts and damages are subjective. And of course, if the insurance company has a view or an opinion on what the damages are, and you don't have anything to support why you disagree with it, you're going to spin your wheels. And, you know, calling them and stuff like that doesn't do anything. It has to be documented. Documentation is the name of the game.
Now, Scott, let's get to the bottom line. So what do public adjusters charge?
Different for each state, driven by regulations and statutes in each state. I'm in Texas, and in Texas, the maximum a public adjuster can charge a policyholder is 10% of the gross recovery less their deductible. Now, in some cases, there will be folks who, they're underpaid, and let's say we'll just use round numbers, and let's say you feel like you've got $1 million loss, and the insurance company gave you $800,000. So, when a public adjuster supplements a claim, they can charge more money on the new money. So sometimes it's 20 or 25%, but it can never exceed the gross settlement. So in this case, if there's $200,000 in dispute, okay, it's the lesser of either 20%, which would be $40,000, or 10% of a million, which would be $100,000, right? So it's the lesser of the two. It would be the 20% for $200,000 at $40,000. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So, Scott, this has been incredibly valuable. Are there any final takeaways that you have for our listeners today?
Give your insurance company the opportunity to do the right thing. Just know that the process is that. It is a process, and there's a lot you're going to have to navigate through, and it can be very confusing and frustrating and take an emotional toll as well as a financial toll on homeowners and business owners. Most people do not have the time or the expertise to handle this type of process on their own. And so I would really strongly suggest that if you find yourself dealing with an insurance claim, if it's a large, like over $50,000, you really, really should strongly consider at least reaching out, interviewing, and talking to some good qualified public adjusters, so that in the event you feel like, hey, I'm over my head with this, I need to get professional help, you know, you have someone you can go to get that.
Scott, this has been extremely valuable. We've been visiting with Scott Friesen. He is the CEO of Insurance Claim Recovery Support. He is a public insurance adjuster. And again, if you are facing damage from Harvey or from any other kind of disaster, whether it's a fire, a tornado, hailstorms, as Scott says, give your insurance company the chance to do the right thing. But if it's not going the way you wanted to, hire a public adjuster. It's what allowed me to get my case settled after 3 years after the 1994 earthquake. So I hope none of you end up having to deal with that for that length of time. Thank you, Scott, for being with us today.
Thank you, Bernice.